Yep, us crazy green divas are still here,
reinventing ourselves yet again.
Now we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube.
You can find our videos and podcasts on all the usual places.
Still sharing low-stress ways
of living a deeper shade of green.
Well, hey there, and welcome to the Green Diva Show. I'm Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Lisa.
And we've got a great show, and we're going to talk a little bit about gardening to start.
It's springtime or thereabouts.
Sprouting things, green things. Well, Lisa, we all help with the garden, but Lisa really is the gardener. And, you know, I kind of take care of the chickens and do eggs, and you're, you know, the garden lady.
Well, I've had a lot of experience with gardens, but not recently until I moved here. It had been decades since I'd had a big garden. And so I really have had fun. There was a spot out there. I did layers. I did kind of a permaculture, which I hadn't done before.
The permaculture lasagna.
Exactly. And that was fun. I tried the Three Sisters last year. It didn't work out perfect. I'm going to try it again this year. And it's time to map out and make plans of who likes to be planted next to each other.
Right,
and
companion planting.
And who doesn't like to be planted next to each other.
Hey, well, now you got
to
work around my garlic, because I did a little bit of garlic in the fall. I did that whole section there, that little square.
Have you looked at it in a while?
Mm-mm.
Okay, we'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm going up there today, now that you mention it.
So it's time to get those seedlings started, if you haven't started them already. And I have some things that I didn't do last year that I'm going to try this year. And I'm going to not do some things that just didn't work out great. Although it was a great garden last year, wasn't it?
You know, we have to talk to David Pogue about what to plant for climate change. Remember,
that's going to be one of our segments.
Yeah, it is going to be. But I just, as you're talking about it, I thought about, you know, like the whole peanut thing. That was such a shock to me.
I know. So we have lots to talk about with gardening in the future. But today, we're going to talk about...
Oh, okay. Well, we have a GD's at Home segment all about laundry hacks, how to kind of clean up and green up and non-toxic our laundry, not only make it non-toxic, but cost less. And I will give credit. A lot of this did come from Dr. Karen S. Lee, also used to be known as Eco Karen. But, you know, we have other contributors to this.
And we're going to talk about the book, How to Prepare for Climate Change. This week's segment is going to be on
solar
panels. Is it right for you? There's so much to talk about. And
really, we could do a whole show on solar, maybe several shows. But at least David Pogue will be chiming in with us just to talk about going solar in your home and how to plan for that. Which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it.
So before we do any of that fun stuff, I do want to say thank you to all of our new subscribers and our new followers. And thank you. Thank you for interacting and chiming in. So if you aren't subscribed, I'm hoping that you will subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And you can check out our website, The Green Divas. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. And look, you can look at our archives. We've got all kinds of information, pretty much on anything.
Do you know we have like over 1,000 posts? I mean,
it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So we've made it so that you can search and you'll get podcasts, videos, posts, and all kinds of fun stuff.
And you can ask your smart speaker to play The Green Divas and you'll get our podcast as well.
Do it.
Welcome to our GD's at Home segment, the DIY natural non-toxic laundry hacks information.
Oh, and we have some for you. This segment is brought to you by Caraloha, awesome sustainable bamboo home products and apparel, a comfy way to save the planet. And they are. Can I just mention that I finally got the sheets on the bed?
Well, I've been using the pillowcase.
Oh, never going back. Never.
Oh,
anyway.
Now I'm jealous.
Just had to say that.
So in this next segment, we're going to talk about laundry hacks. And one of the things Megan's going to tell us about is a DIY from Dr. Karen Lee. A borax feet. So when you go online, you'll see lots of DIY recipes for laundry soap. And it's been for a long time considered okay to use borax, or also it's called boric acid. And there's a couple other things it's called as well. Well, I looked that up in EWG, Environmental Working Group, which is a go-to information for us as Green Divas, and hopefully for you. And they say not so much with the borax. The borax is, yes, it's a natural mineral, but it's used as a pesticide to kill things.
Yeah, we don't want to kill our laundry.
Right.
Or our skin.
You've got a good recipe for not using borax.
Yeah, Karen, Dr. Karen Lee, who we've done a show with her all about laundry. And, you know, we're kind of expanding that. But one of the things she talked to us about was how to make borax-free effective. And I know Karen is so thorough that she tested this. I've actually seen her website, the post with all the different tests on it. Anyway, it's very simple. It includes washing soda, baking soda, grated Castile soap, white vinegar, and citrus enzyme or citric acid.
Now, if you don't have the bar of Castile soap, can you replace that with liquid?
I think so. I don't know. I've never made this. And I keep this recipe handy because I keep thinking any minute I'm going to do it.
Right.
And then I don't.
Yeah. And I'm sure you can replace it with the liquid. And then there's also a super gentle liquid made by Earth Mama Angel Baby Shampoo and Body Wash. You said you use that, right?
I use a gentle baby Castile soap by Dr. Bronner's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I use that too.
So there are lots of different ways we can green up our laundry, not only make it non-toxic, but make it less heavy on the environment and, you know, more natural and healthy for us as well. So one of these things that we discovered was soap nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever used those?
I haven't. And shame on me for not having used them yet.
Well, I kept reading about them and wondering, And there's a house that we rented in California when we were visiting the kids, and it had laundry, and it had these soap nuts. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll try them, because what do I care? I'm on vacation. They work great. They work perfectly. And really, I don't know why I don't have them.
So they're great, they're soapy, and then they're biodegradable, right? And they work for a long, long time, too.
Yeah.
And they're not really nuts, so you don't have to worry about nut allergies.
Right, exactly.
They're shells from husk from soap berries, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, why didn't I figure this out earlier, and why don't we have them now? I keep forgetting about them.
I know.
So bad on us. And then one of the things we have discovered is dryer balls. Beep. Show and tell. This is one of our dryer balls. My cat likes to get them, so I've lost a few over the years.
Well, that's a good thing to do when you're done with them. Share them with your kids and your cats.
But these things are magical. They actually reduce the energy used to dry when you're using a dryer.
That's true. They bounce your laundry around, which makes more air between the things that would normally be stuck together.
We so need this. 20 to 30% faster drying, which saves time and energy if you're using an electric dryer. They last forever. I think 1,000 loads.
Yep.
1,000 loads right there.
And then when you're done with your 1,000 loads, it's biodegradable.
Yeah.
Or you can turn it into toys for the kids and the cats.
So think about all the packaging you're not using, all of the dryer sheets that you're not using and throwing away.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure they're not awful dryer sheets if you get the right ones.
And you must get the right ones.
Think about all the money you're saving.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And if you want, you can add some essential oil to fragrance up your laundry. You can put a little lavender scent or whatever.
So one of the other things that Dr. Karen Lee had talked about when we had done our show with her was making your own dryer balls using old socks.
Those lonely old socks.
The ones
that you can't find the mate to anymore.
You know, she recommended using lavender and flaxseed to give it weight and to give it some nice smell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever. And line drying? You know,
I'm a big fan. And since we moved out here in the country, I actually ordered.
You did.
I ordered it at one time, and then I don't remember why the order got canceled. So now we're almost at spring again, just another week, and it'll be the spring solstice.
Well, any time of year, I suppose, depending on where you are, it's never really a bad time if the weather's not rainy.
Or frozen.
Right? Or
But there's nothing like the smell of fresh sheets. If you haven't done it in a long time, you'll be so pleased at the smell. There's nothing like the smell of lime-dried sheets and clothing.
So that's just a few laundry hacks that might help green up your laundry, save you a little money, and be a bit more non-toxic.
I just wanted to say that if you don't have time to make your own and do any DIY projects, there are companies that we rely on that you can go to buy the best laundry stuff.
That's right.
Or other cleaning products. So you can go to the site, thegreendivas.com, and click on our companies we dig. You can also go to last week's
The post for this show will have these details in it. And Lisa has discovered some great companies mm-hmm. that are really minimizing packaging, non-toxic, low packaging, low impact mm-hmm. companies, which, you know, come on, we're not all making all of our stuff all the time.
These products are just getting better and better.
So this segment was sponsored by Caraloha, soft, cool, clean, and green. Making home goods and apparel from sustainably sourced bamboo. Check out their products at caraloha.com.
So, so soft.
So, hey, David, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Divas. Good to see you again.
And a little birdie told us that today was your birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Yes, okay. It is. Thank you.
Anyway, I hope you're having a brilliant day.
I am. And this is the highlight so far.
Uh-oh.
That's sad. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're in San Francisco, so it's early yet.
That's right. That's right. The day has only just begun.
So we're going to talk about solar energy and in the context of how to prepare for climate change. Based on your awesome book. So where should we start with that?
Well, I think we should start with the fact that power disruption is one thing that all weather disasters have in common.
Right.
So whether it's a wildfire or a hurricane or windstorm or flooding, power going out is in common with all of them. And if you do live in a sunny part of the country, which is most of the country, one way to avoid being left a sitting duck to that kind of stuff is to get your own power supply from the sun. And what I love about the solar story is that, of course, there have always been deniers and petroleum interests and stuff like that. But the people who got it wrong this time were the experts in solar. They predicted that the price of solar would decrease by like $21.90 to the levels that they're at right now. The price crash happened 50 to 100 years faster than anybody predicted, even 10 years ago.
Wow.
So in 2009, the average price of getting solar panels put on your roof was $51,000. Okay. Today, it's $14,000 after the tax credits. And by the way, it adds an average of $15,000 to the resale value of your house.
Done, paid for.
Exactly. You're basically getting it free. And the government is still to this day giving you a tax credit for this year. It's 22% of what you spend on it. And this is not some lame tax rebate. This is not some deduction. It's not a deduction where you subtract it from your income for the year and then calculate your taxes. This is a tax rebate where they write you a check off your taxes after they're calculating that you won't pay. So that's if you want to pay to own your own solar panels. By the way, I could dominate this conversation on solar. You guys could just go out for a drink. And I'll still be here.
Have at it.
You just tell me if I'm talking too much. Okay, so the cool thing is you may well get more energy from the sun with your solar panels than you can use. Mm-hmm. So not only are you powering your house with this solar panel, you may have excess, which you live in the modern age, you are allowed to sell the excess to your utility grid. The tables have turned. Finally, you're screwing them instead of them screwing you.
I love it. Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
If I may jump in.
Yeah.
Do all states allow you to sell back, or just are some states have different regulations for that?
I believe all states. I'm not absolutely positive, but I'm pretty sure it's all states, because there is these utility companies have obligations to generate a certain amount of their power from renewable sources. So you are an easy way for them to get that.
And I guess that number is going up all the time in terms of how much renewables they have to use.
Yes, that's right. That's right. 38 states have now passed mandates that require them to get a certain percentage of their state power from these renewable sources by a certain year. So New York, California, and Hawaii, for example, intend to get 50% of all their power in the state from renewable sources by 2030. That's 9 years from now, which is amazing.
Bye-bye, coal.
Exactly. So if you have solar power, what you do is every time you accumulate 1,000 kilowatt of power, and there are, you know, apps that will show you how you're doing, you get a solar renewable energy certificate, an SREC. So the power company will buy that from you for $100 or $200. So, you know, you sell 10 of those a year, that's $2,000 you generated from your roof. It's pretty awesome.
I like the sound of that.
Here's a question. Do you have solar power on your home?
I don't. We actually looked into it 4 years ago. We had the installers come out and were informed. First of all, we live in Connecticut. It's not the world's sunniest state. But the problem was our house is built in the wrong orientation. So the sun would not, in fact, hit the roof. He did offer us to build a solar panel deck in our backyard, thus eliminating the backyard. And while I am a hot, raving environmentalist, I am not that much of one that I would sacrifice my children's backyard to the solar panels. But believe you me, once I downsize, which is in 2 more years when my last kid goes to college, I am going to be Mr. Environmental House. You know what I want?
What do you want, David?
3 houses in my neighborhood that got geothermal energy.
Yes.
These,
yes,
these long pipes deep down into the ground. They pay nothing,
yeah,
for heating or cooling. Mm-hmm. And they generate no greenhouse gases. That's what I want. Well, so my next house is going
to
have that.
We have kind of a plan to have a hybrid of solar and geothermal, which the last house we lived in had. It's a long story. Won't go there. But in New Jersey, we're all sitting on giant rocks. So it's not an easy thing to go 6 foot down, which is, I think, the minimal.
Right, right. I have to say, there are these things called heat pumps. You guys, have you talked about heat pumps on the show?
Not yet.
Okay, so there are two ways to bypass the standard air conditioning heating systems that everybody uses now that are much cheaper for you and much better for the environment. One is geothermal that we talked about. The other are heat pumps, and these are very popular in Asia and Europe, and they're only just catching on here. Basically, it works on the same principle as a refrigerator. A refrigerator, if you think about it, takes heat out of the interior and pumps it into your house. That's where the heat goes to keep the food cold. And a heat pump is the same thing, but your house is the refrigerator and the outdoors is the kitchen. So it pumps heat during the winter into your home and in the summer out of your home. And they're a fraction of the cost. And this is one of those weird things where I wrote about this in the book and only later met people who have them. I've been doing Zoom talks about the book, and a bunch of people on this latest Zoom, it was a California climate group. They were like nodding, yawning. Yeah, what else is new? We all have that.
Yeah, they're way ahead of all
they're
of
very
us.
Popular in Maine. A lot of my friends in Maine have those.
Yeah.
Yeah, my husband has been talking about getting that as well for at least one of the buildings here.
My next house, man.
Awesome.
Now, there is an alternative to buying solar panels,
right,
despite all the advantages. They still are going to cost you, $15,000-$20,000. But you can get solar panels for nothing. And this is if you decide to lease them. And the way that works is you hire a company like Sunrun or SunCity. They come, they install the panels at no charge. They do all the paperwork, the permitting. They maintain them. They do the repair them. The only catch is that they get all the government rebates, not you. They get to sell those solar certificates to the utility. And then you don't get free electricity. Instead, they negotiate a rate with you. It's much lower than what you've been paying for electricity. And it's fixed. It will not go up. But it's not zero. Right. So you'll still be paying them for electricity, but it'll be less than what you have been paying, and yet not zero.
So now talk about if you have, like, I know Tesla has a battery capacitor thing.
That's for our generator. That's our backup generator.
I know, but for solar,
you have to store.
Right. What?
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, the knock on solar, of course, is that it's generating power only when the sun is shining. And for that reason, these home batteries, the Tesla one looks really cool. It looks like it's like a slab, like a shiny white metal slab that goes on your garage wall.
I've seen one.
Yeah? Did you get to touch it?
I did. At Ed Begley's house.
While you were at Ed Begley's house, of course.
Just name dropping.
Well, you know, when I was at Meryl Streep's the other day. Anyway, so it stores the sun's power during the day and dribbles it back out to you at night. And I was just reading yesterday a really cool story about people in Texas who got these Tesla power walls, as they're called, and their lives were saved by it because when that cold snap hit, there was no electricity and no heat in Texas. They're not used to having to have heat. They also had no snow plows and no salt trucks, by the way, because right. When would Texas ever need that? And so these power walls saved their lives. They powered the house and kept them warm at night.
Yeah, it was such characteristic disaster of the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weather supersized.
I was just about to go down and visit my friends in Austin just before that happened. I'm so glad I didn't go.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny that you should say that. So none of your listeners are going to care about this, but my oldest son, my 23-year-old, works in Austin. His job is there. But after the pandemic a year ago, they sent everybody home to work from home. And finally, he said, why am I still renting that place? I got to go back to Austin and shut everything down. Happened to be my younger son's, my 16-year-old's February break. So I, the generous dad, said, tell you what, we'll help you pack up. And we bought our plane tickets. I mean, we were about to leave for the airport when that storm hit. And wow, are we glad we didn't. That would have been
saved.
The worst. Yeah.
David, I noticed in the book that there are some calculators, which we will post on our blog post and our website. Can you tell us about those calculators?
Yes, I can. We should make clear that not everybody can install solar. Not everybody should. It may not make financial sense for some people. But the way to find out is you go to one of these online calculators, you plug in where you live, which way your house faces, and it'll tell you whether it makes more sense for you to buy the panels or rent them. And it'll tell you how many years it'll take you to recoup the costs, which is usually like 9 or 10. And then they'll show you, you know, after 20 years, how much money you'll have actually made from your solar panels. So a couple examples are EnergySage.com. EnergySage, they have a solar calculator. Mm-hmm. And then SunMetrics with an X at the end. They have a calculator, Sun, M-E-T-R-I-X. But generally, solar in this country is just exploding through the roof, and everybody who's got it is glad they did it. So I strongly recommend checking it out.
All right.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Have a good birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
another great segment with David Pogue on how to be prepared. Mm-hmm. We're getting prepared for climate change because it's happening.
It is. You can find him on many CBS Sunday morning shows and Nova. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you so much for being with us this week, and we hope that you'll join us again.
Bye. So, what'd you think?
Let us know. And in the meantime, follow our YouTube channel. Follow the Green Divas on Instagram, Facebook, all the usual social media hangouts. And now you can ask your smart speaker to play the Green Divas podcast.
And I have a favor. Please share this with your friends. Thanks in advance.